So nice.
Yeah, I went from 1 week Angelina Jolie to .com the next week.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. Okay, guys, and we're back. We return this week with my good mate, Kelly Dent. Kelly comes from a family that's been supplying horses for the film industry since the early 1940s. Kelly herself appeared in her first film when she was just 12 years old. The film was First Night with Richard Gere. She talks about her impressive career and what it's like to be performing stunts in prosthetics, how jumping into water or being hit by a car could be unpredictable, and what travelling from the UK to Morocco with 50 horses is like. Anyway, here's our interview with Kelly. Hope you enjoy.
So, hi mate, do you mind introducing yourself? Tell us how long you've been a stuntwoman for.
My name's Kelly Dent and I've been on the stunt register for 20 years now.
20 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brilliant. Yeah. So, what was you like as a kid, Kel?
A kind of a bit of a tomboy, bit of living on a farm, driving all machinery and getting involved and kind of grew up on a film set.
Yeah.
It kind of bears in mind. My family are from that background, so we've just, all I've ever known is being around film sets and things like that.
So your family's from that background, but your family generally is horse work, isn't it? Is, you know, horses and stunt work with horses.
Yeah, started with my granddad, did the old Black Beauty films, done Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, started, I think I first dressed up as a knight when I was 12 on First Night.
Was you really?
And were you saying that the sort of horse work in your family goes about five generations?
Yeah, we started in the early 40s.
Wow.
With my great-grandfather.
Is that Uncle Steve?
Yeah, and we've kind of carried on since, and hence my cousins now work and run a lot of the horse side of it with my uncle.
Okay.
I don't have as much to do with that now, just more the stunts.
Right.
But I still specialise with the horses. If those jobs come along, they're like bread and butter.
You're the nice days.
So when did you realise stunt work was the career for you?
I did my horses until I was kind of 17, 18, represented Great Britain, show jumping, travelled all around Europe. It was a great career, but not as well paid as the stunt career.
Yeah.
So I kind of had a little bit of a feel of it all and decided, you know, I'd really like to do this. I started doing the scuba diving and my martial arts. I was still sort of 16 then, 17, and carried on from then and got the bug, really.
What were your qualifications?
Scuba diving, swimming, fencing, riding, kickboxing, and trampoline.
Obviously, horse riding was the easiest of them. Which did you find that, were there anything that didn't come naturally or you had to work harder for?
I think the trampolining, but you know, it's a lot younger then, still at school, so that was handy to keep doing a bit then. But no, they all come quite well, really. Enjoyed it. Scuba diving, I love water stuff. So, even worst case scenario, when you've done your scuba diving, you could we always used to laugh, you could go off and be a diving instructor in the Maldives or something like that.
Right, yeah.
There's another way of doing something.
So you gain life skills as well as your training for the stunt qualifications.
Definitely,
you definitely gain other life skills.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Can you remember your first visit to a film set?
Probably that first night. I always remember those quite vividly, working with those and being under rain machines with Richard Gere, standing there holding his horse while he's doing dialogue and being absolutely soaking wet through. So, yeah, those kind of things have probably first come to mind.
Okay, now I know you, I know your career, and I know all the jobs that you've done, but is there a specific job or a type of stunt that you're not very comfortable with?
I always think water, in natural water, has always been one of the hardest. It might seem like a very simple thing to do, but when you're jumping off coming off a waterfall or in the sea, there's all these riptides and things, and obviously the cold. The cold has a massive issue on anything you do. And there's a couple of times when they're like, whoa, let's get you out. You know, your nails are going blue, your lips are going blue, and can be a bit scary, so I'd say that could be the most uncomfortable.
Has there ever been a moment before before or during or after a stunt where you thought that was closer than it should have been, or closer than I would have liked it to have been? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a few times. Car knockdowns, things like that. You always kind of plan where you're going to go through the air, but when you hit that car, there's a slight minute that you don't. You're upside down, and you are going no matter what. You're hitting the floor, so that's always a tricky one. And we're not robots. We're not. You know, it always hurts.
So three of us worked together on Potters, and you're the stunt double for Aunt Marge.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what it was like working in the wires and the prosthetics?
Yeah, so it was a long day. We'd start at, I think, 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then I was finishing at 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Can I remember that you couldn't go to the toilet all day?
Once a day.
Once a day?
Yeah, once I could take the whole complete fat suit off, because I had, obviously, underneath, harness, big harness that come out the side, then a big fat suit with all the expanding pumps and layers inside, and that would come up onto my face, and then all the costume over the top. So little sips of water all day, and then just at lunchtime,
it was hot under really those lights hot. As well. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it was really hot. Was
and
really
you've got
fun.
Everything like pressing on you because you're in a harness and a suit and a costume. Yeah. Oh my!
It's not more dangerous, but just really tricky, a job like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you often find yourself in those positions.
Yeah, I've done quite a lot of prosthetic work, especially with harnesses, jerk backs, being flung through the air, wire stuff with prosthetics, and it's a long, stressful day. Mm. And as much as you're there to do a stunt, a lot of it is just being really uncomfortable.
Right. And having just a higher tolerance for just long periods of discomfort than most people would.
Yeah, like. Yeah. But then I quite enjoy it. I quite like putting the mask on. A few times I've had dialogue with prosthetics on, because I did one for Miranda Richardson. It was one of my first jobs for Sleepy Hollow, and it was brilliant. It was really good fun.
So, Kelly, you've been drowned, set on fire, run over by a car, hung to death, shot multiple times. Is there any way you haven't died on film or TV?
That's a tricky one.
Or is there a stunt that you haven't done yet that you'd like to do?
Not really.
No, high falls.
No, I've done a few high falls. I kind of get to a point where I'm like, that's high enough. I've got to sort of 50 feet, and that's been good enough. A lot of the girls specialise in that, as they would turn around and say, no, you do the horses, you rear, and you know, fall off them, lay them down. So as much as we all have our skills,
So what are you more scared of, getting hurt or getting the job wrong?
I was always getting hurt, really. At the end of the day, we're there to create the idea of an accident, the idea the stunt happens, but hopefully you shouldn't get injured and you shouldn't get hurt. Something's gone wrong if you do, generally. So, touch wood, I've had a couple of injuries, but walked away and I've been away.
Do you mind listing the injuries, top to bottom?
Lots of broken fingers, they're a bit bent. Fractured my jaw, a knee injury, and recently a slip disc. But I think that's just lots of years of wear and tear, yeah.
Okay. Kelly, how do you handle fear and pressure?
I don't know, really. I kind of just, you've got to just get on with it. When you're a stunt performer, stunt girl, I think you kind of, if you think about it and overthink it too much, you get yourself in a bit of a pickle. You know, I've met a lot of people along the road and people that have just come into the industry and they've said, you know, how do you know you're going to fly through the air there and you're going to hit the floor and you've got no pads on and, you know, we might be in rehearsal, we might have a mat, but when it comes to it, it's not going to be there. How, in your mind, how do you get through that? And I suppose it's just years of kind of going, yeah, well, you know, we don't bounce, it's going to hurt, but if you get on with it and, you know, you're tough and you just, yeah, just don't overthink it and stress yourself out, that would be my idea.
Nice. Some of the best locations you worked in, obviously the job takes you all around the world.
Yeah.
Do you remember any special places?
Recently I went to Norway, that was amazing, very beautiful, for Paul Herbert. We went on the Atlantic Road, they do a lot of car commercials there.
Oh,
and
cool.
Yeah, and that was like we stayed in a hotel with the only way to get there was by speedboat, lovely little island. And
cool.
Yeah, the places you kind of think are off the beaten track and not the normal places are the ones that are really cool.
Yeah, nice. How important is it to you to have a good stunt team around you?
Very important. We've had an old saying for years as well, you're only as good whoever is around you. Yeah. And whoever's on the floor, it's like an old horsey saying, whoever's there with you setting it all up, you're only as good as your team. And that applies massively through stunt teams and careers. It's nice to have everyone looking out for you. They see something that could happen and you've not noticed it.
Yeah.
You know, even as a stunt coordinator, when you're there, you're one set of eyes. If you've got good people around you that notice something, you might not, you know, you're ahead of the game and you're going to be on it.
Yep. Now, you've obviously had a career working with horse work. Can you tell us some of the dangers of what working with horses on a set can be?
Massive amount of dangers. Especially enclosed on a stage, you've got equipment, you've got cameras, you've got crew, people getting trodden if that happens, all those kind of things.
Is that why it's important to you to know the horses that you're working with?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah,
you really know them inside out. They've all been trained, they know what a boom is when it's coming over the top of their head.
Yeah.
I've seen it
at the yard, you let, you know, guns off near them and,
yeah,
you know, swing swords near their eyes while you're riding them just to make sure they're used to that so they're not going to get a spook on.
Yeah, any stunt rigs, we get those rehearsed next to them so they get used to, obviously, lots of compressed air noises and things like that. A lot of normal horses won't. Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you were sitting on a horse and it bolted on set and it's, you know, Kelly's responsibility, you know, and you get binned off of it and you can't work. You've got to be on it. It's a live animal, isn't it, at the end of the day? So, do you mind naming some of the actors that you've doubled over the years, please?
Kate Winslet, Kate Blanchett, Keira Knightley, Christina Ricci, Dot Cotton.
Yeah. Winner.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do as Doc Cotton?
I had to fall over a cat.
Nice.
So, yeah, I went from 1 week Angelina Jolie to Doc Cotton the next week.
Brilliant.
Well, you're very versatile.
Yes. That is good.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Not only have you been performing stunts for the last 20 years, but you've taught most of who's who in Hollywood how to ride a horse.
Yeah.
Do you mind name dropping a few people you talk to ride?
Yeah, so a lot of the time I've been on the films with them and then they've obviously got to ride for that, so we go and have a crash course and go through a lot of stuff. So like Keira Knightley, Emily Blunt, yeah.
Yeah,
Ed Norton, was Ray Winston.
You used to have a right laugh teaching me to ride.
Yeah.
I used to fall off all the time.
And I'll be holding myself, not professional, but I'll be holding myself laughing because he's hanging on.
Just literally round the neck of the horse, holding on by my ankles. Do you have any favourite actors or directors that you work with?
Actors, kind of. Michelle Pfeiffer was lovely, actress. Cool. She was really nice.
Stardust. Yeah,
it's a good film.
So I doubled her all the way through, and Claire Danes for that. Right.
Yeah.
And then I also was Ditchwater Sal in a big fat suit for that as well.
Nice.
So we had lots of girls on there, but lots of prosthetics. So, and she was so sweet. She could see how much it kind of ruined your skin. You were meant to have a rest for it. And she bought me a lovely thing of moisturisers and all girly, things.
Nice.
Yeah, which is lovely.
Oh, cool. Is there a specific stunt or film you worked on that you're very proud of?
I think about me. All of them, really. Go back, yeah. Each one's all have their favourite parts. And I've been really lucky to meet some amazing friends over the years and travelled some amazing places. So I did Last Spectre, that was in Austria. Yeah. That was beautiful, some amazing places there.
Spent some time in Morocco?
Yeah, I spent 5 months one year in Morocco. We drove 50 horses out to Morocco for a film, for Kingdom of Heaven. We found that they were casting very tall, 6'2" knights, and if you put them on Moroccan horses, they look a little bit small.
Oh, that's
funny. Get all your horses out.
Yeah. So
what is the logistics of getting 50 horses to Morocco?
Yeah, I think we had 7 lorries, and it took about 4 or 5 days, and I just passed my HGV, and they said, off you go, you'll be fine. And we drove all that way out there with the lorries, and it was great fun. The horses came back looking amazing, and we travelled all around, went to the coast, Essaouira, where they do a lot of kite surfing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of riding down the beach, and you can try not to smile too much, like getting paid to do it.
That's awesome.
Just speaking of a specific horse stunt, pulling a horse over.
Yeah.
How do we handle animal welfare and where that is in today's society? Because it's still quite a violent thing for a horse to learn and to go through, and can go wrong on the day.
Yeah.
So how are you with that?
Yeah, I mean, we work alongside Animal Humane, American Animal Humane. In the UK now, that's really been stepped up. There's a big branch of it here. Always working closely with them, training them very slowly. Obviously, CG has taken over a massive part of a lot of those kind of stunts now. A lot of it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Sometimes the speed is taken down, it's not as quick. For instance, I did Justice League with Eunice a little while ago. We had a whole riding sequence, a whole horse chase that was all on robots, all on mechanical robots. Yeah. So our previs was set up and we did horse falls, saddle falls, everything to look at. You thought, wow, we could do this for real on real horses, this would be great. But we did it all with robots, so it was my job to make them look like horses with the RoboMoco guys.
Do you think there's still a place for horse falls?
I think so.
To pull a horse over?
Yes.
Do you not think it's cruel at all?
No, I don't think it's cruel. They're athletes. Yeah. At the end of the day, the horses are trained in that way. They're supple, you know, they're never brought onto a set, hopefully, and quickly, let's do this. They're warmed up slowly, brought into it, so it's just someone doing gymnastics, you know, it's part of their life.
You're a full member now.
Yeah.
Do you have aspirations to coordinate your own jobs?
I've done a few little bits here and there.
Yeah. What about the big numbers?
Not really. No.
I want to watch your kids grow up.
Yeah, I've got 2 young kids. Everyone says, you know, they get to teenagers and they're like, don't really like you anymore, so maybe then I might go back to you a little bit and do a bit more coordinating. But at the moment, my life's great with family. And
how do you find that work-life struggle and the juggle?
It's very hard. It's very hard.
Because your partner Nick's special effects in the film industry as well.
Yeah.
And if he gets a job, he's away for months. And if you get a job, you're away for months. I mean, it's a juggle, isn't it?
It is a massive juggle, and we've kind of said, he goes on a much more of a longer contract than me. I can come in and out, and I prefer that in a way. If one of us has to be sort of a constant parent in their lives, otherwise, literally, they forget who you are, and you kind of don't have children for that reason, hopefully, because they're part of you.
Did your attitude change to stunt works after becoming a mum?
Not really. I think I still go in there with the same mindset, and I still have a go at anything and do whatever I have to do and ask to. The only thing that really changed was just being away from them. You know, it's a bit of a pull on the old heartstrings when they're there doing sports day and you know you're not there. So
Did you do any stunts when you were pregnant with them? Because that's been a thing that
we've
heard a lot
as well.
So it's a real grey area for the stunt girls, because you don't want to, you know, before you've even told your parents or anyone, then going to a stunt coordinator, can't really do this, I might be pregnant, you know. You're meant to wait 3 months to tell anybody. I did a little bit, I did lots of driving. I kept driving, which has been great. Eunice had me in to do a bit of driving stuff. And then I've just been up front with them. The thought of doing something and anything going wrong was sort of forefront of my mind.
And that, having had kids, would you, if they suddenly were like, I want to be a stunt person, would you encourage them to go into it? Or would you sort of, how would you feel about them going into the industry?
They kind of already say that. My little girl especially, she's kind of already showing those kind of ways. She's very good with her horses, she competes, and she's one of those, she's sort of jumping around and jumping off things and a bit of a tomboy.
She's on the way then.
She'll be on the bench there.
My son has actually come and been on set with me and done a little bit, and thankfully he's like, no, actually I really don't like this, Mum. I might do special effects like Dad.
Okay, cool. I saw that advert recently where you're climbing outside the car whilst it's driving down the road on two wheels and you're changing the tyre. So there's a car on two wheels driving down the road. Kelly hangs out the car and takes the tyre off.
Yeah, it's for Lucas Aid commercial.
That sounds brilliant. I'm looking that up when I go home.
Yeah, really cool. Amazing car driver. He does a lot of stunt shows, and he literally popped it up onto a ramp on two wheels, and he was like, right, go, and I had to climb out while he's balancing it, and stand on it like you're surfing and kind of change the front tyre, then pop back in, and then he dropped it back down.
Amazing. Jesus Christ.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think the last thing that needs to be said is, for the girls, guys generally, trousers, long sleeve, elbow pads, knee pads, you're always in vests and skirts falling downstairs in high heels.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even know if there's a question there. I just wanted to raise the point, really.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're put in positions where not only are you taking risks, but you have less protection.
Yeah, massively. I was thinking about this earlier. It's just like things you might ask. And recently, like, I did a silent witness job, and your costume's hanging there, Kelly, and there's the most tiniest little negligee. hanging there, and I'm just waiting, you know, anyone else coming? Is anyone bringing anything? Is that it?
And that's it.
And you've got to run through the woods barefooted, blood all over you, wade through the stream, and then someone's going to smack you over the head with a plastic tree, as you do. So I've had loads of that across my career, as in not having been able to wear very much. It's always... In the winter, you have very small costumes, and in the summer, you're in thick woolen petticoats, corsets, little bonnets, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. Madness, isn't it? The only one film that any stuntman really got it on like that was The Die Hard, because he's got no shoes and a vest.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all that stunt sequence, there's no elbow pads, no shoes on.
And that bloke who ran on naked at the beginning of The Revenant. That poor guy. I don't know who he was. I was just like, that must have been
cold. Brad's done a naked stairfall.
Skins, that was, I think.
No one's asked you to do a naked stairfall, anything?
No, I've done skinny dipping, though, in February in a lake.
Oh.
Doubling for Sienna Miller, and I don't look like Sienna Miller.
I don't know, Kel.
I was in the reeds, so it was like the cowboy trick, so I was hiding in the reeds, and... she stripped off, and then it was like, okay, go. and I just swam to the centre of the lake, and this other stunt guy met me, and we were meant to be, it was a romantic kind of come up arm in arm, and we just came up together going...
What would you say to any young girl pursuing a career in stunt work?
Go for it. I love it. I get a lot of the emails from the girls that have just got on and their new pages, and I always try and email them back because it's a massive career to get into. Yeah. It's huge. It's brilliant, though.
Are you championing the younger generation, or do you find them, do you see them as competition?
No. Well, they are competition, of course. Yeah. But I see them as, yeah, go for it. Good on them. There's some amazing talent coming through, amazing girls, great attitudes. And yeah, I just hope they have as great a time as what I've had in the last 20 years.
What's the thing that, like, at the moment when, you know, either you've had an injury or you're, you know, about to do something and you're like, this is really crazy, what is it about the life and the world or the team, or what is the thing that just makes it unquestionably, like, worth it?
I think it's kind of your team around you, camaraderie, and kind of you're there together, and you kind of, you want an end result that everyone's going to go, yeah, that looks brilliant, you know, did you see, have you seen this? This looks great.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Kel, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Okay, thanks, Kelly, for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Cunning Stunts. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care.
Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor, and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website, www.rippleproductions.co.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.